Rocksteady is a successor of ska.
There you go. Is it second wave?
Precursor to...
Two-tone?
No, to reggae.
Reggae.
Yeah, it's a bridging of the gap between those two. No, two-tone is the second wave of ska.
Yeah. We were talking about No Doubt.
Is No Doubt a ska band? They were for maybe an album.
Parts of
that album
record.
That nobody knows.
That nobody knows?
Anything that's before Tragic Kingdom, people don't know.
No, Tragic Kingdom was also... There were ska... Don't Speak, ska.
I don't know.
Don't Speak, I know just what you're thinking.
You're adding more swing to it or whatever than there was.
Upstrokes?
Yeah. I think that Tragic Kingdom is a pop album.
Well, yeah.
That sometimes has horns on it. I think they're like first album.
Spiderwebs, that's it. That's the one. Spiderwebs is the ska song.
Is it though? I know Spiderwebs. It's not playing.
You're right, because, you know, internet. Play.
Sorry, I'm not home right now. I'm looking into Spiderwebs.
Yeah, it doesn't want to play.
I don't think it's a ska song. I think that album was their departure from ska.
Maybe.
Also, Sublime, ska band.
Not a good one.
I don't know that they are either.
Oh, No Doubt from 2002 or 1992.
Yeah.
Trapped in a box.
This is like country ska.
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah.
And an ache.
Yeah.
Dude, this is a bass tone, man.
And they had maybe a song or two like that on Tragic Kingdom, but it was very much a departure.
It's a Spiderwebs.
Yeah.
Excuse me, mister. Yeah.
Super rock song. You could make the argument for like skate punk on that one.
So there's ska punk. No skate punk. Just a punk.
Great song. Now it's ska song. Used to have a radio show my freshman year in college. And it was at like 8 a.m. on Sunday morning, which seemed like a really good idea on it because I was just starting college. And then it was real dumb. It only lasted a year. But I would open with the song Sunday Morning every time. It was called, the show was called Sunday Morning Wake Up.
With Mr. Bittner.
With just me and I think my roommate Dave at the time was also technically part of it, but it seemed to be just me sometimes.
Me and two of my college friends, we had a radio show. It was like Fridays at 4 for a semester, and we would try to go back like the next year. Mm-hmm. And then the people were like, we want to be like formatted, and we want like at this time people know what they're going to get every, like at this time every day.
Yeah.
It's like, we're going to have sports at this time. And like, you're making it a real radio station. This is college where everything is made up and the rules don't matter.
Well, like, it's fine if some people do that. Like my friend TJ, he had like his thing, like people would like tune in and whatever. It's like, but like, you know, that's TJ's thing.
Yeah.
Not which the whole station.
Yeah. Like, well, they were like, and I was at this meeting and I'm just like, this doesn't sound like what we want to do.
Yeah.
Plus like, will it fit into our schedule? Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, we want to do radio. Like this is great. If you want to be like, I want to be a real program director. And it's like, yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. So make your show that, or whatever.
But it was the pro, like the guy in charge of the whole radio station. So we want to do this. It's like, that seems dumb.
Yeah,
because college radio is like, it's we want to be our own voice. Like, you know, like before Clear Channel decided to buy up everything.
Yeah,
and make it like every radio station's the same radio station.
Yeah, one of my favorite transitions I ever did between songs.
Yeah,
I played the song Chick Magnet by MXPX.
Yeah.
And I was like, speaking of chick magnets, here's Mozart. And played something from his Requiem.
Okay.
Like the Lacrimosa or something.
Man, you had a diverse collection. We did an interview once, and then someone called like afterwards, and the Jay, who was the guy who was actually doing the interview, they're like, yeah, is that guy on the phone right now? And it's like, here he is. It's like, yeah. It's like, that was the best fucking interview I've ever heard on the radio. This is so fucking good.
Amazing.
It's like, oh, thank you. I appreciate that. It's like, dude, that was a compliment. It was amazing. He sounded scared because the guy was like yelling.
Yeah.
He's probably at a shop somewhere.
Yeah.
So we're here to talk about, oh, I'm Bo.
Brandon.
And we're talking about Two Tunes because this is Two Tunes. Dos Songos podcast.
Sure.
Yeah.
So last time we recorded, which it's been a few weeks.
Yeah. A
couple of weeks for us. So we generally like send each other our tunes the day before, the night before, something like that.
Yes.
And I had sent you my tunes. Mm-hmm. And I think we've both been saying for the last several weeks now, we feel like we're running out of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
and this is why you, the listener, should send us stuff in the Discord.
Because either like for me, like we're just busy and we don't have time to like listen to new stuff, or you're just like been listening to old stuff. Like for me, last probably month, I keep going back to the same Hot Mulligan song over and over and over and over again because I just really like it.
Yeah.
And I get it stuck in my head and then I would like want to hear the real one, whatever. So I just keep going back to that song. So like I haven't been branching out as much, or I do like a little bit and then I come back or whatever. So anyway, 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, whenever we last recorded, I'd sent you my two songs for the next day. And then I was looking at Instagram and I've talked about them before, but there's like several accounts that I follow that their whole thing is just like showing off their vinyl collection. Here's this new thing I got. Here's this thing I got, or whatever. And so I can never remember which one it is when I find this, and I don't remember which one it is now. But one of them posted a thing and it was like, oh, here's this album, and it had like a cool color. It's like this cool kind of like orangish color, and this band called Ghost Atlas. And I was like, good band name.
Yeah.
That sometimes intrigues me, you know? And it said side project of this guy from this other band or whatever. I was like, okay, whatever. I don't know who that band is either. But I'm intrigued by the name Ghost Atlas. So I was doing some work, pulled up that album, and like instantly I was into it. And I was like, oh man, I could have sent this to Bo. Like had I found this 20 minutes ago, I could have sent this to Bo for the podcast. So,
okay.
So here we are a few weeks later. Now it's going to be on the podcast.
There you go.
Ghost Atlas. So let me pull up the, nope, that is the Wikipedia page for the genre known as rocksteady. About Ghost Atlas. Yeah, it just says that. Great. This is from the album, the new album. Came out in January 26, 2024. Ghost Atlas, the album is called Dust of the Human Shape. And they're from Birmingham, Alabama. And why can't I find that bio that I found before? There it is. Ghost Atlas is the melodic alt-rock side project of Jesse Cash of Era, capital E-R-R-A, all caps E-R-R-A. You know them?
Yeah.
Who I listened to a little bit of them, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty good. But an intensely personal project, every conceptual part of Ghost Atlas's music, lyrics, and visuals is an intentional outpouring of Jesse's mind. So this is the newest release. And which track did I send you? I think I know.
Panorama Daydream.
Boy, that was hard to say. Which is the second track, I believe.
All right.
Let me confirm that in 3, 2, 1. Yeah, second track.
Okay, here it is.
So here it is. I listened to the whole album that night too, and I really like it. Reminds me of some of those like late 2000s, 2010s, like Tooth and Nail bands and stuff.
Okay,
that I would listen to. I like his voice a lot too. So Era Well, I assume that's how it's pronounced.
Yeah. Or is it Eras?
No, it's E-R-R-A.
Okay.
But the little bit that I listened to them, I definitely hear him, but I don't know if he also does the, like unclean vocals, because they definitely have that, too. But I could hear him on the cleaner stuff, you know. But like I said, I haven't really explored much of that. I just really like this particular album so far.
What's his name again?
Jesse Cash.
Okay.
All spelled the way you think it would be. There are also a few other Ghost Alice releases. Which I have not explored yet.
He is just the clean vocals of...
That makes sense.
Of that band.
Yeah.
JT
Realmuto, the catcher for the Phillies. That'd be amazing. It's not that. No, JT who? I'm sorry.
JT Cavey is the lead vocalist of Era.
Gotcha. Yeah, I had trouble picking which song also.
Yeah.
These are all good. This one's a little more like down tempo and feel and stuff. Like some are like a little more upbeat and some are like a little harder edge, but like this is a pretty good representation of, like, if you like this song, you'll like this album, and I assume the other songs. Like I said, I haven't listened past this album yet. Reaching for an ebb and flow. Yeah, it's a little bit different than what I've typically been listening to. Like, I think Era would fit more. Like, that more heavier stuff is kind of where I've been gravitating towards.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah.
So I was responding to a message. It was bad of me.
That's okay. and I do want to listen to more.
Yeah. Like I said, I really like this album. It's all I've listened to by them so far, but I'm really into it. I want to listen to other stuff. I'd like to see them live. Like, that I'm sure it'd be like a really good concert and stuff. So yeah.
You think he's going to tour?
I have no idea, man.
Being that he's in Eras.
I don't know, man.
Era. Dead so, time.
Yeah, sorry. We're both on our phones. Okay.
Well, I was looking up stuff about them.
Yeah, I dig it a lot.
Yeah, cool. Now we're going to go across the pond.
To Belgium?
To Ireland.
Across the pond doesn't mean Ireland.
Does it? It
means England, strictly England.
Does it?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyways, this band called New Dad.
Yeah.
Capital N, capital D. First D, no space. Shoegaze, lo-fi, indie rock, pop. Mm-hmm. Found them through the last week's band, Blonde Shell, just because I hit like the infinity.
Yeah, give me a playlist.
It's like, make a playlist of this. Yeah. And then also until...
That's how I found somebody else I brought to the podcast too.
Yeah.
I don't remember who, but it was a similar thing. And I was like, oh, I like this.
So this is off their Waves EP, which came out in 2021, and I didn't realize that like they just put out a full length. And I'm like, oh, I should probably listen to the full length.
It's all right.
So
find a little sizzle or make a little sizzle for the full length.
And... Yeah, and it's like, oh, cool, awesome. I'll listen to Madra, M-A-D-R-A, which is Irish for dog. Hmm. What was that?
My phone.
Anyways. Yeah. So they're from Ireland. Just a bunch of Irish people. There's not really a lot about it that like Sean O'Dowd. D-O-W-D.
Yeah, O'Dowd.
O'Dowd. Was studying music technology in Limerick. Began recording the band and eventually became a full-time member. Mm-hmm. So there's not really a lot on their Wikipedia. Four-piece band. Two EPs.
Lo-fi shoegaze, whatever you said.
Yeah, lo-fi shoegaze. Indie rock pop. They're on Atlantic Records.
Oh.
So.
Hit the big time.
They've hit. Yeah, and this was mixed by Alan Mould. Or Mulder. Sorry. Do you know that person?
No.
So he has. He's mixed. He engineered My Bloody Valentine, three of their records, the Jesus and Mary Chain. Mm. A little record that he mixed was Siamese Dream by the Smashing Pumpkins.
Okay, so he was big in the 90s. Is what
yeah, saying. He mixed The Downward Spiral by Nine Inch Nails.
Oh, never heard of
Melancholy one. And The Infinite Sadness.
Oh,
He co-produced and mixed. Actually, a lot of Nine Inch Nails he produced, and like a lot, like almost all of it, like the whole thing. Wasting Light he mixed by Foo Fighters, and it really is. It's like all of Nine Inch Nails records.
All the big things in the '90s, and also all the Nine Inch Nails.
Like every Nine Inch Nails record since,
yeah,
since the Downward Spiral. Is that it? Yeah, since the Downward Spiral.
Okay,
he's mixed. Yeah. And then 5 Seconds of Summer as well.
Nice.
No Shame. That's the record.
No, that's just...
That's the record. That was
not who I was expecting. Do you know that band? You know that band, right?
Yeah.
Or like their two songs.
They're like a pop rock band.
Yeah, or something. Yeah.
Yeah. I forget what the song was. Their hit?
There's two. There's one that was acoustic and one that was not, probably.
Anyways, we're here to talk about New Dad.
Nope, talking about 5 Seconds of Summer now.
No, we're going to talk about New Dad. I dig this. I think this is like our pairing today is pretty good.
Yeah, for sure.
So this song is called I Don't Recognize You. I listened to this whole record. It's pretty short as well. Mm-hmm. Let me see if I can figure out exactly how long it was. The EP is called Waves. It's 24 minutes, 6 songs. I Don't Recognize You is track 2. Mm-hmm.
Theme of the day.
It is. This is a good song. You should listen to the whole record. Where are you? Now I gotta find it again. Here, I don't recognize you. Been in this 90s female led grunge. Mm-hmm.
Which EP is it off of?
Waves. I love the two vocals, like the doubling, because left and right, but they don't quite match up.
Yeah.
Like, but they're tight, but not like it sounds like one. And I think the whole song is just like four chords.
Uh-huh.
It's the same chord progression, which I think is really cool.
I wonder if they went to this guy specifically. You would imagine.
Well, he just mixed it.
Well, still, though. Because you pick your mix, usually.
Yeah.
Because, like, they have that 90s...
Yes.
Shoegaze kind of thing, so, like...
Well, that was for not that
all those bands that you were mentioning are that, but like...
That's for the... excuse me. That's for the full length. This is the EP.
Oh, I got you.
This was
recorded... Even still, though, you got to imagine...
By Chris Ryan.
Their new thing sounds like this, in a way. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So... Yeah, I dig this as well. I want to listen to more.
I Yeah, like it's just there the one time, and then it's like not at all.
But there's that other stuff that's been like creeping in. Yeah,
there's a lot of like really cool things that is going on in this mix. A lot of little ear candy.
Yeah. We've been talking about a lot in my, especially my top jazz band.
Yeah.
Because I try to let, even though we're playing arrangements like that are specific, I've been trying to let the kids make some choices on some things.
Okay.
Or like, you know, from little things to big things, whatever. But one of the things we've kind of talked about, especially talked about with like the rhythm section, because they have more freedom in some ways, is just those things of like, it's one of those things like if you add it in or if you change this thing, it can make a world of difference. Mm-hmm. Even though no one could pinpoint it if you left it out. Do you know what I mean? It's a hard concept. And it's similar things like with this. Like if there were like some of those like little things that they left out, you wouldn't know that that's the thing that's missing, but you would know something's missing. And that's kind of what we're going for with these, some of these changes and things we were talking about. But it just made me think about that. Like those little ear candy moments you've been mentioning.
Yeah.
You could take those out real easily, but you go, I don't know, like something, still a good song, still a good whatever, but yeah. There's a little bonus thing there for everybody who listens to the end of the track.
Yeah.
Yeah, I dig it. I want to hear more of their stuff. And you haven't listened to the new
record? I haven't listened to the new record. I just like while here doing a little research, I'm like, oh, that's an old record that I've been listening to.
Yeah, because even when I was on their Bandcamp,
and
I was like looking at their newest releases and stuff, there's another EP and there's like some singles.
Yeah, I'm picking them up from the beginning, and there's that EP that I've listened to. There's another EP, and then there's the full length.
Yeah,
that just came out.
I don't know if it's even out yet because it's not on their Bandcamp. Like their Bandcamp just
It is.
Oh, it is.
September 13th, 2023 when it came out. So
they need to update their music portion of their thing. I think it's on their merch thing, but not the music thing.
Yeah, and this is the cover. It's like a baby doll or a porcelain doll with its like face cut or something messed up with it, which I think is like cool. So yeah, there's New Dad.
Yeah.
And it's also in Dolby Atmos if you want to listen to it. I think all new records are going to be released in Dolby Atmos and Sony 360 or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Enhance your listening experience. This is going to be in surround sound. I couldn't make it, but I'm not going to.
Implant it into your brain.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I forgot to watch the...
The draft?
No, the men's Frozen Four champion, the hockey championship.
Okay.
D1. It's BCBU. That's a big deal.
Okay. Missed it. To some people.
Yeah, I missed it. Cool. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yeah, that's our another short one.
That's okay. You're still sick.
You've been my God. You know what's really funny? It has. I have been.
What's that?
Do you ever watch Hot Ones?
Yeah, the Conan one.
Oh my God,
dude, and he's incredible. Are you on Twitter at all?
No.
Okay. I just have it and I scroll and like whatever and see stuff and but there's this week there's been a like. Conanoissance or whatever, like a renaissance of Conan.
Oh,
like, all these people are like, oh my God, Conan's amazing and whatever. And it's like, yeah, he always has been. And like, I'm great. Like, it's great that people are like realizing that, like, or just remembering or whatever. So people are sharing like old funny clips from his shows, favorite moments and different things. Like this one guy shared a story about that he was a summer intern on the show one time. And he's like, we don't see Conan because we're doing all these other jobs that do not directly relate to him. And stuff. So he's like, we just never see him. And he said, some people are there like one day a week and whatever. And he said, I was there like full time based on the, whatever he was doing. He was, he was helping like archive old shows or something.
Okay.
Probably like digitize or whatever. Cause this is like the early 2000s or whatever. So he said there was one day early on in his internship where he was waiting at the elevator to like go home for the day. Mm-hmm. And here comes Conan also hopping in the elevator or whatever. And he said, Conan goes to him, don't you steal from me, because I will know and I will find you. Because that was this interaction he had. And he goes, I don't see him for the next like 3 months or whatever.
Yeah.
The whole rest of my internship, I don't see this guy that I'm working for or whatever. And he goes, that was just so funny, like that he said that to me, and like typical Conan, like, you know, straight delivery and all that kind of stuff. So he said, flash forward to the end of the summer, and it's like our final thing. And he's like, here's a group photo, and he attaches the group photo and whatever. Mm-hmm. And he's like, there's me and whatever. And he said, we got like 30 minutes with Conan, and he kind of gave us all some advice and some different stuff and said, thank you. And then as we were all leaving, we kind of get in a line and shake his hand, and he says, thanks. And we say, thanks. And we're out the door or whatever. And he says, thank you to everybody that goes through. And then he gets to me. He doesn't say thank you. And he goes, I know you stole from me. I know it, damn it. He goes, you waited 3 months to pay off that bit. Like, that's Conan in a nutshell. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he'll commit to this thing.
But did you watch it?
Oh, yeah.
And did you watch the...
And I watched it kind of before all the hype hit. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I didn't even know any there was hype, but I watched it today. And oh, just because I saw...
Yeah, because it's been blowing up. Especially like on Twitter or whatever, but like Instagram, it's like made its way to there and stuff too, of like just people are going, holy shit, like this is amazing. He's so funny. And like, Sean, what's his name? Evan says something about like committing to the bit. And he's like, it's not a bit. This is life. Like, whatever. But it is. Like, he's just.
He had a doctor. And this is like, where did you go to school?
Dr. Arroyo.
1995.
Yeah.
I didn't ask when. I said where.
Is it a 4-year degree? It was. It was supposed to be. That's what he was like, supposed to be.
Did you finish?
Yeah.
It's so good. It's like, yeah.
And sticking the wings in his pocket when he was done.
I want to know if he like palmed them, which like he means he didn't put them in.
No, he totally put them in his pocket.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he's like chugging the sauce at different times.
Dude, like.
But like to his credit, there was only that one time when he kind of said about, oh, yeah, I'm feeling this one a little bit.
It was at the very end.
No, it was before that. It was like the fourth wing.
I think it was the first time
that he had dumped, that he had like opened one up and like dumped a bunch more on it.
I thought it was when he was doing like the bomb and he's like, I'm starting to feel it now. And that's like the one that everyone's like, oh my God, what am I doing here?
Well, that was, I don't remember. I don't remember that part specifically, but yeah, I was like, oh man, I miss Conan so much. I do listen to his podcast every now and then.
Yeah.
If it's like a guest I really want to hear, but like I always enjoy it and he's always funny. And there's been floating around again that bit, you know who Jim Downey is?
No.
So Jim Downey was also like a longtime writer on SNL.
Okay.
And they had him on the podcast one time, and it was around the time that Jeffrey Epstein died.
Okay.
And Jim Downey, again, like very straight, like delivering all this kind of stuff, and he's like, Jeff Epstein, the New York financier. And they're like, yeah. But I feel like I would have heard about if there was something, you know, going on with this guy. But that's just the joke. Like, not Jeff Epstein, the like probable, you know, pedophile and whatever and all this other stuff. And like, but he's like just referring to him as like, what? Jeff Epstein, the New York financier? That was like a bit. So that's become now like a meme. So like when OJ died, someone was like, OJ Simpson, the leading rusher for USC in the 1960s or whatever. It's the picture of Jim Downey, like with that face. And then that's been like a running gag as well. But I actually finally watched those 2 minutes of that conversation and like, cause I kind of got the meme through context, but Conan's hilarious. Do you know my favorite Conan bit?
No.
Ever? Did you really watch Conan?
Not really.
Okay. When he was still on, The Late Show.
Yeah.
The one after, like, yeah. the original show he had. It was after the NBC Universal merger.
Okay.
Or whenever that happened, like mid-2000s or whatever. And because of that, Conan was like, oh, I now have access to all these Universal-owned properties. Mm. We can just play clips, and we don't have to pay royalties, because, like,
yeah,
it's just it. So he hit on the show Walker, Texas Ranger.
Okay.
Chuck Norris.
Yeah, yeah.
And he had this, like, lever built, and he would pull a lever, and it would just randomly play a clip from that show that was, yeah. like, the most ridiculous thing ever. And somebody shared one on Twitter that it was like, oh, do you remember this thing? And it was Walker and, like, this girl, and she's like, she starts up, I was like, yes, of course. And she's like, you are like, proposing, right? And he's like, well, I was trying to, or whatever. And then they're like, okay. And then, like, they go to hug, and then Walker gets shot in the back. It's so ridiculous. But my favorite one ever, both for the ridiculousness of the clip and Conan's reaction to it, he pulls the lever, they play this clip. It's Haley Joel Osment.
Okay.
But, like, when he was little.
As the guest or on the
thing? No, from the clip of Walker, Texas Ranger. Okay. Haley Joel Osment is in this show. And it cuts to him standing with somebody, and, like, Walker's across the way. And it's like, seems like a nice touching moment has just happened or whatever. And they're like all smiling or whatever. And then, like, little Haley Joel Osment goes, and Walker told me I have AIDS. And it cuts. That's back to Conan in his face. It's like, what?
What? Yeah.
But that was one of my favorite of his, like, running gags.
Yeah, I think I've seen that clip before, but, like, not in that context, but in another context.
Yeah, because it's just like out of context, that clip. I'm probably in context, that clip is ridiculous, but
yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm glad to see Conan get some love again.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so funny. He's a good guy. Also, apparently he wrote the monorail episode of The Simpsons.
Yes.
And, like, incredible.
Yeah. He's all a long career of, wait, he did that, and he did that, and
well, he
did
that. Well, he was at Harvard.
Yeah, yeah.
And he ran the Lampoon at one point.
Yes, he was at Harvard.
He was at Harvard. And then he goes on The Simpsons,
yep.
as a writer, and, like, writes some of the best stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets on SNL and mm-hmm. writes some of the best stuff, and, like, and then gets plucked from obscurity to do this show.
I think most late night people came from Saturday Night Live. Like,
now they have all the NBC ones, because it's all just Lorne Michaels handpicking.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it started with Conan, mm-hmm. and then he handpicked Jimmy Fallon, and yep. then he handpicked Seth.
Yep.
So I just listened to an interview with Seth where he kind of recapped. Oh, it was they did, like, a 10-year retrospective of the Seth Meyers late night show.
Yeah. And then didn't they I heard somewhere where Lorne Michaels had basically said, it's like, Tina Fey could take over the show.
Over SNL?
Like yeah, when he's
like,
gone,
whenever he goes, it's got to be somebody in house, obviously, but yeah, yeah. I could see it being her.
Dude, he's been doing it a long time.
Yeah.
Are they approaching the 50th season?
They're getting towards the 50th, yeah.
Like, next year is the 50th season,
I think. Is it? Yeah, it might be.
Unless it's this year.
No, because I think they would have had a big deal about it, bigger deal about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It all started with George Carlin.
Sure.
He was the first host. Host. Yeah.
Wasn't the thing, too, they just, like, wanted him to just be the host or something?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. That sounds about right.
Oh.
Anyways, go watch your Saturday Night Live. Go watch your Conan O'Brien.
Watch Conan.
Team Coco. And join our Discord.
Yes.
Follow us. Tell your friends. We'd appreciate it. Let's grow this thing.
Yeah.
See you later.
Bye.
What?
Peace.